Hello, everyone. I'm Sandra Smith, along with Emily Campagno, Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, and Tyrus. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five.
Yes.
All right. Well, that was former President Donald Trump just moments ago saying he is ready to testify. After the stage got set, the 18 people who will determine his fate have been seated in his hush money trial in New York. Opening arguments will begin this Monday. The big developments today, among them, the judge ruling that prosecutors will not have to give advance notice of the witness list to Trump's legal team because the former president cannot be trusted not to post about them. Team Trump will, however, get one name on Sunday night. Trump railing against the gag order imposed by the judge that limits what he can publicly say about witnesses. He says it's time to take the muzzle off.
They've taken away my constitutional rights to speak, and that includes speaking to you. I have a lot to say to you, and I'm not allowed to say it. And I'm the only one. Everyone else can say whatever they want about me. They can say anything they want. They can continue to make up lies and everything else. They lie. They're real scum. But you know what? I'm not allowed to speak. And I want to be able to speak to the press and everybody else about it. So why am I gagged about telling the truth? The judge has to take off this gag order.
But some in the liberal media don't care about fairness. It seems like all they want to see is the former president thrown in jail.
Put him in jail?
At the same time,
Joey, is that what you're saying?
Why not? That's exactly what I'm saying, Jim. I mean, look, yes, I get he's a former president. How else are you going to maintain decorum? How else are you going to maintain respect?
Because he's an ex-president.
Yeah.
But it's even more incumbent on the court in this process to hold Trump accountable. And I don't think fines are going to do it. I think he needs to sit in a cell. He should be put in a cell and contemplate his behavior.
But Stephen A. Smith has a message for them. He's putting Democrats on blast and accusing them of using the courts against Trump.
That appears to be their strategy, but I'm here to tell you, it's not working. It's not working at all. And to be quite honest with you, I don't mind the fact that it's not working because I might not be a supporter of Donald Trump, but I want him to lose the right way. I want him to lose because you have better ideas and you make your case to the American people better than he does.
All right. That was Stephen A. Smith. I mean, Jesse, does he have a point? I mean, this is a former president. Shouldn't he get a fair shake here? And has the media gone too far with just calling to lock him up?
Brilliant move by Democrats. You're indicting this guy so many times, and then he can't talk about how unfair it is. You're rigging the election, and he says you're rigging the election, and then he gets thrown in jail for saying you're rigging this election. This is probably the best campaign strategy the Democrats have ever come up with. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't think it's working. Stephen A. is right. We send Johnny out everywhere, black Americans, Hispanic Americans, young and old Americans alike. They've had it with Biden. Never met a Biden fan in my life through Johnny, and except my mother. And so this could be a landslide that nobody sees coming because of how unfair this is. I would make them put me in jail. I would have a tweet about something maybe perhaps I said on The Five or Jesse Waters primetime, and I would force them to throw me in jail if I were Donald Trump. The mugshot backfired. The indictments have been backfired. Being a martyr in jail for maybe, what, a day, 24 hours? I think that would be
Jesse
good.
Jesse can't go to jail.
He can't go to jail?
Jesse can't.
Oh, I can't go to jail. No, I absolutely could not. Yeah. But I would if I was running for president because it would probably help. Couldn't hurt. And if they make him testify, do you think Donald Trump's going to testify? I don't know if he's going to testify. I wouldn't probably not testify and go to jail instead. That's what I would do.
Harold, does Jesse have a point? I mean, this is starting to make it look like Democrats just don't like fairness.
Well, I push back totally on that notion about Democrats and Republicans. He's under indictment. He says he's innocent. I believe he's innocent until he's proven guilty. I would employ a different strategy if I was indicted. I would have my lawyers laying out my case, and I would be outdoors after a day of court saying, here's what happened, here's why what happened today in court proved that. This president has a unique way of defending himself, a unique way of articulating points. He said, Jesse, and then when he was walking in, the press asked him the question. He said, I would testify, so we will see if the president, he has that right. He has the right not to testify. I think one of the things, in fairness to the guy you put up there on CNN, I had that up on one of my screens in my office earlier, maybe it was yesterday or today, and I thought what he was responding to was whether or not if the president violates the court's orders, would he be arrested? Not just arrest him. Maybe I misunderstood the way the point was being introduced. And I'm torn there. I don't know. I think if you don't, and I'd be interesting to hear Emily's take on this. If you have a set of rules in the court and a defendant or a party to a suit violates something that the court has laid down, and one of the penalties is after a while you get arrested. I don't know how you don't arrest them, because if you don't, then that means that you and I or Jesse or Tyrus or anyone, if we're in court ever, and I hope never to be indicted and don't plan to be, that we would be able to use that as the Trump defense.
No, but this is a political show trial, Harold. This isn't like your regular felony or misdemeanor.
We're pals, brother, but that's not right. This is a trial.
It's a show trial.
Well, you can say he was indicted because of things you don't believe he should have been indicted about.
He's indicted because he's running for president against Joe Biden.
So, but let's be clear, though. This is not a show. It's a trial. And if he's found guilty in this trial, he can't say, I'm not going to go to jail because it was a show trial.
Well, he won't be sentenced to prison because it's not a real case, Harold.
I'm an American.
Someone without a criminal history. This is a white collar situation. There's no way he's being sentenced to prison for this.
He could
well,
be.
Regardless of what happened, he won't be sentenced to prison for this.
Let me just finish my point. I don't know if you're right about that, but he could be sentenced.
Who's never passed the bar, I am right, Harold.
This is true, and neither have
never
I.
Took so we'll, the bar, though, to be fair.
To be fair,
if you took the bar, let's just put that out there. Right.
But to be fair,
innocent. He is innocent until proven guilty, and I look forward to hearing the case.
Well, we know where this is going next. We followed it minute by minute today. The jurors are in place. They have been sworn in. We know that the prosecution, as of Monday, it was confirmed today, they will be able to start making their case, Emily.
Right. And the question is sort of, well, will the defense be able to make their case? Because when you pose that hypothetical about that you would have your lawyers make the case for you, and that if rules are set in place and you don't obey, then naturally incarceration is sort of the next step. But the question is sort of, well, what if the rules are unfair? What if they're totally rigged against you? What if the application of those rules are totally faulty? And by that, I mean, as Trump's defense has tried to, for example, subpoena Stormy Daniels this week, they said this is so that we can get all that information that is in that interestingly released documentary just in time for her to make a lot of money. Well, that was called witness intimidation and harassment. So the question remains, how can Trump's defense team adequately and accurately defend themselves when they're being blocked, they argue, from even assessing the information? How is it that the defendant is gag ordered, but the star witness who has been convicted of perjury and worse, that he's let free to taint a possible jury? And let's talk about the impaneled jury. So here it took 3 days.
You're talking about
Michael Cohen? Yes, sir. Here, after 8 years, these charges were brought, jury impaneled after 3 days.
Yeah.
Interesting how it took 2 months to impanel Joker Tsarnaev's Boston Marathon bombing trial. You know how long it took to impanel Scott Peterson's trial? 4 months. The Night Stalker, pretty sure we knew he was guilty, 9 months. The list goes on. And yet here, 3 days. Trump's at trial.
Listen,
an NYPD officer
Trump's
is at trial for getting punched.
Up.
The list
you
goes on.
You got to roll them sleeves up, okay? Forget the gag order. Keep it in the streets, because that's what's building him momentum. We're all paying attention. President Trump going to jail will be right up there with Martha Stewart. He will see from the inside, and then when he gets elected, he's going to have amazing prison reform. He's going to fix stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be like Jesse with delicate skin and good hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to go in there. He'll come out with some cornrows, and he will be excited. I'm telling you, this is the best thing for him to fight it, keep it in the public. If he's saying the deck is stacked against him and that's his mindset, then accept the fact that you're going to go to jail. Keep it out when you come walking out. Do it. Let them cuff you. Let them, because you know what? More American people identify with being, pardon my language on the five, screwed over by the system to see somebody that they, this is modern day living martyrdom. He's going to be, and Stephen A., you gave us the word egregious. This is egregious. And I don't agree with much Stephen A. on political stuff, but I agree on this. I'm willing to go out on national. Stephen A., let's take a bet. You're a Knicks fan. I'm a Celtic fan. If they meet in the finals, loser has to wear their other team's colors for a whole week. Keep it up, Stephen A. He's just like White Lightning. That's what we call ourselves when we were a tag team in wrestling. But, Mr. President, keep it in the streets. And when you get in prison, use that time to, for amazing prison reform. This is a win-win. Look what Martha Stewart did with her little prison time. She changed lives.
Do a little prison workout
right.
in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. If I had a microphone, I'd drop it. I could probably leave now. I don't really feel like I could top right. that.
No, we're going to need you for the next hour.
But in my book, he's innocent. The president's innocent until they prove him guilty. They've not. I'm not seeing a lick of that.
I'm talking about the gag order. If they're going to put him in jail for the gag order, take it.
Right.
Take it.
Yeah. Okay. Up next, Israel just hit back at Iran, and it's driving the pro-Hamas protesters on campus crazy. They're back at it again.
Hey, you seeing this?
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Joe Biden's toothless foreign policy on full display yet again. Israel rejecting Biden's advice to, quote, take the win, when Iran launched but failed to land 300 missiles and drones inside Israel last Saturday. The Jewish state retaliating by launching a limited strike on Iran. A U.S. official says Israel struck near a major Iranian airbase and nuclear site about 200 miles south of Tehran. So far, reports indicate that Iran has no plans to strike back. And while tensions rise in the Middle East, the pro-Hamas students at Columbia are back at it.
Break by break!
Break by break!
Wall by wall!
Wall by wall!
Zionism will fall!
Zionism will fall!
You're blocking vehicle traffic.
NYPD KKK!
NYPD KKK!
IOF, they're all the same!
IOF, you're all the same!
Antifada Revolution!
Cops raiding their anti-Israel liberation zone encampment, arresting 100 of them, including Squad Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's daughter. Today, they tried to rebuild their anti-Israel solidarity camp, but minus the tents. Jesse, I find it so curious as those students, frankly, children in student clothing, saying that they are all Hamas, which does that mean they are all rapist butchers? They called a black female NYPD officer to her face KKK. Why is that solidarity seemingly acceptable? As Ilhan Omar says, oh, those protests definitely aren't anti-Jewish. And her fellow Democrats say, well, that's just political reprisal.
I don't know. I'd hate to be related to Omar. Doesn't seem like the best person to instill values to other people. But, you know, sometimes you need to get suspended to learn a lesson. I surely got suspended a few times in high school. And look at me now. Look at me now. See, I learned my lesson. And I don't know what they're doing. It looks like a lot of young women. I don't see a lot of men out there at the protest in the camp. You tell me what that means. Maybe they're missing something in their lives. But this isn't it. I would definitely not side with terrorists as something that, you know, I'd filled my Friday afternoon with when I was in college. I think I speak for Harold and everybody here around the table. We were doing different things in college.
I was
studying diligently.
We were studying diligently. We were doing a lot of things diligently.
Yes. And you were suspended. The people will know. You were suspended for trying too hard.
I was in the library past library closing hours.
And refused to leave.
That's why.
Trespass on the library after hours. And Harold, here's the thing. So we talked about the message that the Israeli defense would have sent to the world. It's been argued that we will respond to any attack on our soil. It's been argued this is a sort of demonstrating capabilities. But the reality is, to me, the biggest message was, hey, guess what, Biden? I don't care what you say. What say you?
So I think a little different. I've heard that narrative today. And I think a little differently. I thought that what the Israelis did, they had every right to do. Every country has a right to defend themselves. We, as a country that has been their greatest ally, and they're our greatest ally in the world, we have one of the most unique relationships. We may only have a more unique relationship with Great Britain than we do Israel. We're allowed to say the things that we want to say. I thought what Israel did last night in their response was tactically and strategically and militarily brilliant. It was as powerful a message as you could send without killing one. Remember, they sent over about 300 missiles, and we shot along, Israel and us shot them all down. Israel sent about three drones, and basically told the Iranians, we know exactly where your nuclear reactors are. We know exactly where your most important military assets are. So we can either do this or not do this. I don't mean to simplify it in that way, but that was the message. And the real thing that concerns me is when the Iranian defense minister or their defense spokesman said, this is a new equation for us now. In my lifetime, we've not seen the Iranians and the Israelis go at it in the open. It's always been proxies. So the question becomes, is this cap on escalation serious? And do we go back and revert to the proxy war or not? I think we will. The Iranians aren't even saying that this was a big deal in their country, and the Israelis aren't even owning up to the fact that it was done by them. I think the most important thing that happened to Emily, and I'll shut up here in a moment, the Congress passed the rule around the foreign aid bill, and Speaker Johnson put his political career as Speaker on the line to do it. I thought today what he did was to show that he's Speaker of the House. Sometimes Democrats and Republicans in the last 20 years, when they become Speaker, they're the leader of their party first. He's the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and the courage and the bravery that he showed today, he showed that not everyone, someone doesn't have to be right, someone doesn't have to be wrong, that the country needs to win. And he represented his constituents, and I applaud those Democrats who supported that rule, who broke party line, and I support those Republicans who broke party line to advance this bill, and hopefully we are able to get the funding, the $61 billion to Ukraine, the $26 billion to Israel, and the $13 billion to Taiwan.
All right, Sandra, you've been covering this since minute one. What do you say?
In fact, I was just looking for if there was any updates at this hour. Dan Hoffman earlier today on our network said this may be only the beginning of Israel's counterattack. We'll obviously have to see what happens in the coming hours and days. Raised eyebrows at the White House press briefing today, which we covered live this afternoon. John Kirby wasn't at the microphone. He oftentimes is. Within 24 hours of this attack, didn't step up to the microphone. Karine Jean-Pierre led off that briefing by saying, if any of you ask me about it, our answer is no comment. Very odd that they couldn't even simply say something like you just did there, Harold, that they have the right to defend themselves. But that wasn't even said. Mayor Adams weighed in on these protests, and they seem to be growing in number. They seem to be getting bigger and more vile, is what he said. The vile treatment of these protesters to the police in particular. Yesterday, they filled six buses outside of the university. They at one point stopped and made a chain in front of them to not allow those buses to move, to allow police buses to move. So think about that, chanting KKK at the police, as you mentioned, yelling pro-Hamas slogans and slurs and holding up their signs. I had a student on from the university earlier today. I feel horrible for these people. What about those students? What about the students who aren't involved? What about the Jewish students on campus? Yeah. What about them? Who's standing up for them? Who's protecting them? Who's helping them feel safe? She's living out her dream going to that university, just left the IDF. There she is. And she can't even walk down the sidewalk at her school and feel like she's safe. I mean, a college student. That's where this has gone, and it's gone too far.
But that's the same campus, Tyrus, where over 100 professors signed on to a letter supporting students who were defending Hamas's military action on October 7th.
Right, but they're always the same thing as no comment. Ilhan's, hey, what's going on with this? They never, ever own their stuff. They never stand up whenever they're questioned. Oh, no, that's not what it was. That's not what it was. And when they're, do you support Hamas? They won't answer. I am Hamas, but we don't know what it is. They don't know what words are. You're calling a black person the KKK. You clearly have no idea what KKK means. They just spew stuff. Unlike Jesse, who was diligent in the library to the point of suspension, these they go to college and they don't, and they have no knowledge and no experience. But here's the thing. We give them too much credit and we give them too much camera time. They do those chants would need work. They don't rhyme. They don't sound right. No one can get behind them. What they need to do when they do their marches, turn the cameras off. You can still tell the story. You can still be present and not give them their moment on TV. It's this. I look at them the same way as when someone's arrested for committing a crime and they become famous for being on TV. Take the mics, take the cameras away, and let's see how long these marches last, because they're doing it for reaction. Because when something, if you go back, and you made a great point a couple of days ago on the when the civil rights movement, when you ask Martin King what he was marching for, what he was standing for, anyone with him, if they're willing to die for what they would be, yes, and this is why, and this is what we want. When you ask them, if Jesse asked them, oh, you're racist, you're the KKK. So who's in there? Is it me and Harold in the Klan and Jesse? Or can we all do it? It's all inclusive now. But what it comes down to, it's nonsense. Turn those cameras off, still report, and let's see how long these things actually last.
And chants that rhyme.
Think about where this thing has come from. It was a pro-Palestinian, free Palestine to we are Hamas.
Yes.
Now, there's a total difference in saying that you want to protect Gazans, you want to protect people in Rafah, but to say we are now Hamas, I'm not.
You should want to protect everyone in the Middle East.
But
not just
that's a criminal act.
Yes.
You can't go out and say I'm an ISIS and not be arrested. They should be arrested.
Yes.
Period.
That's right. All right, coming up, Joe Biden is exploiting a Kennedy family feud to tank RFK Jr.'s campaign. Stay with us. Sean Combs. Met her down at Al Dane's. She said that she
saw me walking in about a mile away. Bean just had to take her phone. Family fights, usually private affairs. But leave it to the Democrats to exploit that drama for political gain. Team Biden pitting sibling against sibling, rolling out the Kennedy family to officially endorse Joe Biden and trip up RFK Jr.'s campaign.
My name is Joe Kennedy.
I'm Carrie Kennedy.
Tori Kennedy.
Kathleen Kennedy Townsend.
Chris Kennedy.
And I'm here to proudly endorse Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Joe Biden.
When I think of modern politicians in our country in this century, I think Joe Biden is the RFK of his generation.
Biden has good reason to be worried. RFK Jr. just secured ballot access in the pivotal battleground state of Michigan. Joe's campaign also busy trying to convince us that his brain's fine. Check out their new ad. It's literally called Sharp.
I've been a proud steelworker for 23 years, and I know hard work when I see it. I love to tell the story about meeting President Biden because when you meet him, this guy's as sharp as a knife.
So they had to spend millions of dollars for that. You could also just be sharp and save the money.
I love that man's part of the. This is what I cut. This is what they have to sell now in campaign ads, that he's sharp. I was watching Martha's Hour in the 3 o'clock hour, and she had this great political panel on. I think Clay Travis was involved, and it devolved into who's going to stay awake. I mean, I guess because, you know, they're going after Trump for apparently falling asleep in court. And, you know, I guess kind of funny, but not. Are we getting to this point? And Harold, I don't know if that's a huge selling point, that he's sharp. He's running for president.
Sharp. No, I think two things. And I said yesterday on the show, I would give him yesterday's performance, I think, in Pennsylvania I give him a B. Mm-hmm. But I think what he needs is reps. He doesn't, and part of the concern that some may have, Sandra and CT over there, imitating what reps look like, he needs to demonstrate to the country and perhaps to his team what he's good at over the next several months when he's out. He's not necessarily great at going into a Wawa alone. He's there. I believe that's the new mayor of Philadelphia, who is a dynamic and unbelievable person. What she ran on was getting public safety better and improving the life in Philadelphia for everyday Philadelphians. I'd have been out with her looking at some program or initiative that she's kicked off, whether it's with the police or in a neighborhood, trying to understand better what she's doing and then letting her say, because of what you're doing, Mr. President, we can do this. But doing these kinds of things, this is not going to work alone. But him being out, give him the reps and let's figure out where he's best, what he's able to point to that's working, and how can people around him interact with him and interface with him better. But as we sit here right now, the sharp ad along is not going to work. I would agree with you.
Tyrus, how awkward is that family situation now?
I have been on the headset with headquarters trying to find the right thing to say without getting in trouble. And all I can say is the optics are bad, really bad. It's that speech was worse than the red curtain speech. But, you know, I have a commercial coming out next month where I talk about when I met Joe Biden and he had a pulse. And it was wonderful, and he breathed unassisted the whole time.
The whole time?
Yes. And it was, at one point, he went, and I went, you got my vote. He's sharp. That's what you say about the one son, one of your kids that eats paint. You know, and everyone else is like, he's not, but he's your kid and you love him. He's sharp.
Yeah.
He's clever.
Granddad sharp.
He's sharp. Oh, yeah. He's
still
a,
got it.
He's a whip.
He's whip smart. Point.
Yeah. Oh, he's still got it. Every between the hours of 3 and 5 o'clock, it's like time stopped.
Yeah. My dad used to say, she's a good eater about me.
She's a good eater.
I ate a lot. But, okay. Respectfully, Harold, when you say this man needs some more reps, He's been in public service for 50 years. What do you mean, another 50 years of more reps? I think it's quite clear.
Too many reps.
Okay, that's where he doesn't have 50 years.
Yeah, he's just utterly failing. And he trots out the Kennedy family, resurrects this relic of a family to try to save himself. He is hitting the panic button. It is so clear. And in their statement, I found so laughable, where they said he was encapsulated by love and wisdom and compassion. You're telling me someone has compassion when he tells black voters they're not black if he doesn't vote for him? He calls Republicans Neanderthals. He cusses out voters for daring to ask about unions. You cite his wisdom, referring to dead leaders, you mean? Alert and oriented times zero? Like, it is a joke that they are trying to emperor's new clothes. This commander-in-chief that has no vertebrae, no backbone whatsoever, and clearly no strategy, because right now it's just, I love Hamas and free school, and how do we get Gen Z back? Because the reality is, with RFK in the mix, RFK Jr., we know Trump wins Georgia, Trump wins PA, and that might be why even Newsweek had a headline that said, why Gen Z loves RFK Jr.
To say he doesn't have a backbone is rude. You know that his family member was attacked by cannibals. That was just gone too far.
Maybe it was eaten
a step too far.
Yeah. This is a tight race, and it's going to get tighter.
Shark race.
Sharp.
Cut your fingers out. Paper cut on a Sunday. Great song.
Such a good eater. You really are.
The fastest is up next.
Bang, bang, baby, that sweet smile hit me like
remember when I said we need a screen?
Welcome back. Time for the fastest. First up, how many times do we have to warn you, America? Selfies are dangerous. It could get you killed. A group of people carelessly grabbing two scared bear cubs out of a tree just so they could take photos. Lucky for them, mom wasn't there. Mama bears are known to attack if you mess with their cubs. Tyrus, you had a particularly strong reaction about this story.
Well, it's a death sentence because now the cubs have human scent all over them. So the mom's going to reject them. So you just sent them to starvation. Worst case, hopefully something will eat them. The mother will not touch them once they smell
it. Say that again, because I don't think people understand what you're saying.
If you see a cute baby, if you see a squirrel fall out of a tree, don't pick it up. Mom can get them. The birds can get them. But these people see this and they're holding these bears. They have human scent all over them. The mom's going to reject them. So you just wasted a whole year of energy for the mother and the cubs for what? A pitcher? Like, have some respect for Mother Nature.
Legally, should there be something done on these kinds of things, Emily? What's your take on this?
Yes, it was so atrocious to me that, oh, my God, it's so difficult to watch this footage. I wish there was someone there that would have stopped them and beaten them. And it's the cubs' safety, figuratively, because I'm on TV.
Yes.
Figuratively, but the terror of the cubs and the fact that one of them was reported to be like super traumatized after and cold and wet. The ranger comes out and is like, they should be ashamed of themselves. They should be in jail. Who were the people videotaping this? Where is the accountability? They look slovenly. It makes me so enraged that they were okay to do that. And there isn't some type of accountability.
Sandy, what are your thoughts on this?
What was the goal? To get a picture and to post it on your Instagram? I don't get it. There was risk to them. There was risk to the bears. I think it's just quite frankly awful. And people are doing a lot of really, really dumb things right now to try to get a photo. It's not worth it. That's my message.
We've done a lot of stories like this. How does this one compare to some of the ones we've done, you think?
Well, as an African-American, we don't do this. It's not something we do.
No, one percenter.
It's if you notice, this is a white thing.
Yeah.
African Americans, myself included, we don't go into the wild like that. Just grab wild animals for. I mean, it's just stupid.
We don't investigate.
No, it's white people. It's a white thing.
My brother.
All right. If you're looking to score in the dating world, try upping your score in pickleball. That's right. The courts are now a hot spot for singles to hook up. Now, I don't. If you're married, this is not. I'm not sure this is where I'm going, but what are your thoughts on this, Tyrus? Is this where
shut up and play pickleball, okay? It's not like just play the game. You know the game sucks. They're dating. It's ping pong for people who can't even do that. Like this, no one's like, oh, I was at pickleball and there was 10 walked up to me and it was, you know, like no one. This is complete lies. Like four out of shape guys showing up there because they think there might be women there. There's not. This is a ruse to suck lonely guys in to play pickleball.
Did you see yourself doing something like this? Would this be a place you would go if you were single? You're happily
That's
married.
That's a besmirchment. That's a besmirchment, Jesse.
Well, 1,000%. Well, Emma took a tennis lesson today, and now
That's
I'm
different.
Thinking, well, how different is it, Harold?
No, tennis and pickleball.
Now I'm thinking, I don't know.
Tennis, you actually have to. There's tens in tennis. Yeah. Be
that's
afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Tennis is awesome.
Yeah. Tennis instructors
she
are
said
usually
she liked. She said she liked the instructor.
Yep, that's where it goes wrong. Pools and tennis, but not pickleball.
I think I'm going to go home.
Yep.
You're going to be playing tennis this week. Emily, what are your thoughts about this, then?
Pickleball's for nerds. I think this is ridiculous. It's just the latest thing. It's like that game at the park where there's it looks a mini trampoline and they're kicking around a ball. Like, I am not single, but if I was and someone came up and in any way was associated with pickleball, that's an immediate.
Okay, I'm not.
But you were an athlete. I mean, you played.
I play a lot of tennis. Pickleball, I'm not going to hate on it because I think it's a really good sport for people who can't.
So is teaching.
Mother Teresa, standard. Terrible.
Those who can't play pickleball.
And there's nothing wrong with finding an activity if you're single to meet someone. So
would you go heckle?
Generous tennis player.
Finally, researchers have found that students with last names later in the alphabet may get hit with lower grades, basically because the teachers get lazier as they grade things from A to Z. I get on you a lot about your grades, but the water sting may be one of the reasons why you got such a bad rap because the teachers were lazy when they got to your.
Well, I want to correct the record here and just say that I did do well in school.
Okay. Did you go by
Jesse? Why is everybody laughing? I did well
you
in school.
Feel the need to be laughing.
Did you go by Jesse Adders? So, Sandra, you're
like
Mr. Smith.
No, really, he's really sharp.
You were.
He's a good
teacher. He's the only guy to get suspended for being in the library. He locked himself
I was an excellent student.
But Smith.
I proved this wrong. I'm obviously a Smith. Right?
Yes. Right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I was a great student. I got great grades.
Wait, clearly. Smith your maiden name?
Yes. Yes.
You didn't take your husband's name?
Jesse. This is a whole different segment.
That's on the slowest. This is the fastest, Jesse.
Hey, what'd you do? You were right in the middle of Murdoch.
I was Murdoch, so I was middle of the road. But, I mean, I was also, for a while, Aurelius Murdoch. So, you know, that's a lie.
Well, Emily C. and Harold F., we were at the top of the class, so, you know.
So, you got by. Hold on. You didn't get by on merit? Are you trying to say you guys are DEs?
We call it DEIs.
Yeah. Oh,
today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jesse and I, we earned our stripes.
That's right.
Here we Fan go. Mail Friday is up next.
This program is.
Yep. Jesse, you gotta let that 1% kick in. Relax, baby. It's Fan Mail Friday. All right. We know how this works when I do it.
Oh, gosh.
It's round table and we go quick. If you can't answer, you get passed up. And the fans will destroy you on social media. Here we go. We'll go start with Emily. What's your worst airport story?
One of the worst airport stories was when my sister threw out our luggage tags and they lost our luggage. So we just had to sit in the airport for another 10 hours.
Phenomenal.
Every time the plane came, we had to check.
That's horrible.
Just literally 2 weeks ago, I was going to Nashville. I get on a plane, sat 4 hours. They switched it to another plane, sat 4 hours, and never got there.
Oh,
Jesse.
I was having a drink at an airport bar, and this girl comes up, and she had one of those service dogs.
Yeah.
Pickleball.
And I go, what? Come on with the service dog. You know, that's a scam, right? She goes, I have stage 5 cancer.
Oh,
gosh. Whoa. Oh, okay, moving along.
Gosh, that's like confessional.
Follow that.
I missed a flight home the night my husband was going to propose to me.
Oh,
wow.
That was nice. That's why you didn't
that's
take
like that really happened.
That really happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I sat on an airplane with a large woman who kept falling asleep on my shoulder, and eventually I said enough and knocked her out of the chair. Wasn't on purpose.
Oh, my gosh.
Statutation limitations ran out. I'm fine. All right.
That's what she gets.
All right, Emily. With whom would you most want to go out for a beer?
Ryan Reynolds.
Well, you're done.
His wife.
Harold. The answer was Harold, Tyrus, or Jesse.
My answer is Ryan Blake Reynolds'
Lively.
Wife. Blake Lively.
Harold. Living or they got to be living or not?
No, anyone.
That changes the whole thing.
I want to go have a beer with Tiger.
Nice. Jesse.
Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods.
Martin Luther King.
I knew it.
Okay. It's funny you just asked this because I was doing a deep dive on Gustave Eiffel, who was the engineer behind the Eiffel Tower and the center of the Statue of Liberty. He'd be amazing to talk to.
Frederick Douglass, the stories he must
have. I thought
have.
You said he had been
like
living.
No, I didn't.
My oh,
he said Harry
Tubman.
Harry Tubman.
That was
all right, Harry Tubman. All right, okay, Emily, what is your favorite, what is your like favorite past movie to watch again? What movie did you...
Goonies.
Next. Harold.
Coming to America.
Coming to America.
Casino.
Nice.
Cutting Edge. I love that movie.
Blazing
I
Saddles. Blazing Saddles. You know what I love?
What?
Breaking this record. What's your favorite old-fashioned arcade game? Pass.
Pac-Man. Okay. Pac-Man.
Galaga.
Duh!
Great.
I got Pac-Man, too.
Right. It's Pac-Man.
Miss Pac-Man.
All right. Miss Pac-Man is better.
That is way better. She's
he
faster.
Transitioned.
All right. Do you have a good sense of direction?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm
okay, great.
Amazing at it.
Harold.
Nope.
Yep.
Oh, not really.
That's why you have a driver, Jesse.
According to me, yes. Husband would say no.
I have amazing direction.
Nice.
Enough said. All right. If your pet had a human job, he or she would be a...
Duchess would be a special forces operator.
Okay.
She passed away.
A doctor. Gigolo.
Is that?
Yeah. No,
and why? You have to say why on that one.
A dancer.
Homeless. My animals are lazy. All right. You can't live out of water. All right. What's the worst hairstyle you ever had?
Worst and best in the 80s when I had short with a tail.
Okay, tail, duck tail.
Carol. I had a part right here for a long time.
Jesse.
Jerry curl.
You had a curl?
Yes, he did. 1%.
He did not. I got a bob when I was like 18 and
oh, but that's
didn't
cute.
Work for me.
My football coach convinced me to get a flat top. I hated it. All right, last one.
Didn't play.
On a long trip, would you rather have with you paper book or your phone?
Book, obviously.
Liar. Go.
No, I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
I'm with definitely a book.
A book.
Get it together.
Hands
a book.
A phone, and I would download the book. So
thank you. Thank you. Same thing. All right. One more thing's up next. See, we are I'm the king of this.
It's that time of year again.
All right, it's time for one more thing. Harold, you're up first.
A Florida educator got the opportunity of a lifetime after being named Teacher of the Year for 2024 in Seminole County. Janann Hodges celebrated with a ride with the iconic U.S. Navy Blue Angels. Hodges, who works as an instructional coach at Bear Lake Elementary School, got to sit in the back seat of an F-A-18 Super Hornet. She set a goal to not pass out or get sick during the flight. Luckily for her and the pilot, that was a test she passed with flying colors. Congratulations, young lady.
Amazing.
Very sharp.
Congrats.
Amazing. Very sharp.
All right. Jesse.
The Get It Together book tour continues. I got a little carried away when I said you could run your fingers through my hair. Don't take liberties, ladies.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
and gents.
Come on. Vero Beach, Beach Haven, Mendham, Yorba Linda, and then tonight we have Carly Shimkus, Vivek, and Kristen Gaffney, 8 o'clock.
That's it?
That is it.
Okay. Well done.
All right, I think this is me. All right, so this actress was mistaken for a real-life police officer when it really mattered. Mariska Hargitay, dressed in her SVU gear, was mistaken for a real-life police officer by this young girl who was lost and looking for her mother. She was here filming one of the final episodes for the historic 25th season in New York City. So she's not just a hero on TV. She's a hero in real life. She helped that girl connect with her mom.
I love that.
Sweet. That is amazing.
So sweet.
You know, speaking of amazing, the wonderful people at Fish Heaven, they gifted me this breeding pair of flower horns, and I'm so excited. This is the Indo flower horns, and this is he'll be traveling soon. He's out in Thailand right now getting a workout. Look, he's getting ready.
He's huge.
Yes, and guess what? Just like you, Emily, he's a good eater. And speaking of a well-balanced meal, I'll be hosting Gutfeld tonight, so make sure you watch that. And if you really need to see me, Tyrus Live Comedy Tour is everywhere. And Jesse, if you ask me where, I'm going to slap you.
Pronounce it.
Okay, so I am everywhere from California, New Jersey, Ohio, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan, Nevada, Arizona, Florida, Colorado, Nebraska, you name it, I'm there. I'm everywhere but Jesse's house. Don't you dare.
What is the name of the place you can't pronounce? What was it called?
Illinois. Yes.
Illinois.
Feel the noise.
Yes.
Emily.
All right. So for me, guys, a Texas shelter dog became a working canine for the police department. So Rock is a German Shepherd mix. He was rescued from the streets and brought into the Fort Worth Police Department, where he has now taken hundreds of thousands of pills off the streets with a narcotics detection program, making him, of course, a vital tool and asset in combating the fentanyl crisis. He's found heroin, meth, cocaine, marijuana. that is a very good boy, and we thank him for his service. Really,
thank you. And I want to mention something to Sandra, because your husband just texted me.
Yes.
And he wanted me to ask you why you missed that flight that you were supposed to be on where he was going to propose. What happened that night?
I was cutting it really close, as I always used to. You know, before you have kids and it's really easy to fly, I used to show up at the gate, I don't know, you know, 5 minutes before they shut the door. And I was just 5 minutes late this time, and I just missed it.
That's not being sharp.
And I would only learn later that was the night he would propose.
Oh, because he says that's not what you told him, but that's...
All right, that does it for us. Thank you. This is very therapeutic. That's it for us.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.